guys. Thanks for joining me on this awesome Monday morning. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today, as always. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you guys are staying good and healthy. A lot of stuff going on today. Ted's wrapped up in some business stuff he's handling right now, so he'll be back on here in probably about 5 or 10 minutes. But needless to say, I've always got you guys covered with a whole lot of health articles that I'm going to be covering today. It was very interesting ones, including pretty much a manipulated fluoride study that they're trying to push now and stating that it's actually just fine and healthy for you to consume copious amounts of fluoride in the drinking water on a regular basis without any type of side effects. Interesting study, and I'm going to call that one out for what it is. Some other stuff, too, is for what you can do as far as helping your children help have better focus and better health, and also how many servings of ultra-processed food you can eat, essentially, before you start showing severe side effects. Interesting enough, not that you should really be in any case, but I know at the end of the day, a lot of times we have certain, you know, foods that you eat or you're exposed to or you go to or a party or something, and you know you want to be like, all right, you know, I'm gonna have some of this occasionally. And so I guess it's kind of saying the mildly safe amount. So a lot of cool articles you're gonna have here. And also too, be sure to check out the product of the week on sale now, purple powder as you know it. Oh, that's good. Pop mine. I don't know, I had kind of two and a half scoops. Do something here this morning. I haven't had any yet this morning. Pretty much woke up, ate eggs, GHI cleanse, been working on articles. Kids are out of school today, so I was running around with them. Stetson's on one of his wild benders this morning. He just wants to just run everywhere and jump everywhere. And he's great kid, fun kid. He's actually starting to get really engaging now. You know, as you guys know, if you've had kids, early on phase, they don't do much of anything. You know, pretty much change their diaper and feed them. That's about it. Once they start hitting about that year and a half, 2-year-old mark, they start talking some. They start being more active. They start getting pretty wild. More work, but a lot more fun, though, too. Very interesting watching their expressions and growth. And that's the crazy part to me is that it saddens me in some cases when I talk to parents and talk to families. And, you know, they don't ever get to experience all of that. In some cases, because, you know, the kids start having severe health problems. And I'm going to say this, as soon as they start going to the pediatrician's office, and as weird as that is, you know, if I hadn't seen it and I haven't watched the timeline scale and watched certain things occur at the exact same time with lineups of certain things that they expose children to at the pediatrician's office, I would say I think it's just a speculatory, maybe paranoia, just trying to blame something or blame a sickness on something, you know, like a pediatrician. But however, when you start, I don't know, I've probably watched it happen 40, 50 plus times where children are very healthy when they're born. They start going to pediatrician visits. They start getting copious amounts of shots at the exact same time. And they start having severe neurological and cognitive problems and health problems and skin problems. And they start compounding and getting worse. And I've told people that have been back and forth with me on the argument of immunizations. And I've always told them, I said, why is it that you feel the need to start mass injections at such an early age with pediatrician's office when there's zero research, zero clinical trials, zero health studies on what happens when you inject all of these shots all at the exact same time, especially the 6-month mark? And nobody actually has a genuine rebuttal for that. You have people that come up with, you know, certain, you know, snippets of comments that they repeat and parrot from pediatrician's office, but nobody can actually rebuttal that because it's the truth. There is no clinical trial. There is no research study. There are no health, basically, studies that adjust and look at what happens when you give a 6-month-old 7 immunizations or vaccines at one time. There's none. And it's not an argument. It's not conspiracy. It's not speculation. It's just a statement, a factual statement that there is no rebuttal for. And that's one of the biggest issues that I start seeing happening is it's at that 6-month mark. And so, again, this is why I've constantly encouraged families and parents, don't take my word for it. Do your own research, man. If you don't want to believe me, that's okay. I come here every day and bring you guys world news, health research, top-tier supplements, natural solutions, all types of things you can do. Not because I'm trying to force you to do it. I'm simply giving you the knowledge that I know in most cases works for just about everybody I know. And the thing about it is, and then I got these pesky mosquitoes that are in here because we're in Florida. And for some odd reason, somebody left the door open in the studio this morning. And so now there's been about five mosquitoes I've already killed. The other day, we had an owl in here. If you guys saw that, I put the photo up. We got him out. But I digress because now we got love bugs. They're in season in Florida. If you haven't experienced love bugs, bring your car down here to Central Florida at the beginning of May, and I will let you experience the beauty that is beheld by love bugs ruining your paint every single day. You got to wash it or make sure you at least have PPF film on the front of your car. They're a nightmare. So thank you, University of Florida, for that experimental botch that you guys pulled out decades ago. Yeah, that was a fun time. But other than that, be sure, Purple Sticks on sale, product of the week. You guys love them. You want them. We all love them. They're great. Massive replacement. You know, this weekend I had a car rally. I went with my real good brothers with. We're up in Ocala and went driving. It was funny. We only had like a couple packets left in the bags. We forgot the can, and we were like playing rock, paper, scissors who was going to get the extra packet in the morning. Because I won't drink, you know, any type of energy drinks at all. I don't touch them anymore. And so I only had one of these. Saturday, Sunday too. So they were good. They work. The packs are nice though for travel because the cans, sometimes you're trying to pack light, you don't have a lot of room. Definitely got to watch out for those. And so one of the first topics though I wanted to get into here, and this is pretty crazy that it came out now, and it's wild because of course the mainstream media immediately wants to parrot it. And I had multiple people send me this article, and they're promoting this study that's claiming that community water fluoridation has zero effect on IQ. Critics told the Defender the study contains fundamental methodological errors that invalidate the entire author's conclusion. And I actually read the study. I went through it yesterday and read the entire study, and it is one of the funniest studies I've ever read in my life as far as how they actually came to this conclusion. And then what happens is then you have all these mainstream media outlets that immediately repeat the headlines. That's all they do is repeat the headlines. The highly anticipated long-term study published last month at the Proceedings of National Academy of Science was widely cited by media and proponents of water fluoridation as pure evidence that no difference in IQ between people who drank water containing fluoride at levels currently recommended by U.S. public health agencies and people who didn't. Chris Nurent, the research director for the American Environmental Health Studies Project who analyzed the study, identified so many flaws in the data used for the study that it was almost a joke. He said one of the most deceptive parts of the study is that itself was claimed to study community. It studied community water fluoridation, and there was a comparison between two groups, people exposed to fluoride and people who weren't. They found the authors didn't actually measure how much fluoride study participants consumed at all. They didn't even study people exposed to fluoride as young children. The very group the research shown were only affected by possible fluoride exposure in wells back in 1957 Wisconsin High School. The research and data went from the Wisconsin Longitudinal Study, which tracked about 10,000 people in 1957. Got him. 1957 high school graduating class participants took IQ tests and high school and cognitive tests later on in life at 53, 64, 72, and 90, meaning the study participants were born in 1939, 6 years before community water fluoridation even began anywhere in the United States. They had a well that tested positive for basically fluoride in low amounts that was used for a lot of community water, a well. Not municipal water supply, a well. And they came in and said, okay, well, the well was tested in 1956. And so we're going to test back now and say these kids didn't have fluoride when they were born in 1939, but they did in 1957. And now let's do cognitive tests later on in life as they've been exposed to more possible fluoride. Glad you could be here with us.
Camera.
You need Mike.
Sorry, I'm late. Garage door opener company just showed up a few minutes ago, and I had to show them what was wrong with the garage door.
It's okay.
I can sit here making a bunch of excuses, but I'm not, so it just happened. And I hope you guys had a great weekend. And by the way, this fluoride study is completely bogus. Fluoride drops IQ scores. Harvard proved it. It's real. Don't give your kids fluoride. Finish the story, Austin.
The attorney who basically has represented plaintiffs in the lawsuit against EPA about water fluoridation said the study's use of clearly erroneous measurements of early life exposure to possible fluoridated water made it virtually impossible for the study to detect association between early life fluoride exposure and IQ. Because it's like trying to determine if prenatal exposure to Tylenol is associated with autism by determining the Tylenol use in your neighbor's child rather than the child's mother. So we're not sure about this child and Tylenol use. We're not testing his mother. We're going to test the neighbor if the neighbor used Tylenol when she was pregnant. It doesn't even make sense. It's funny, though, is I had multiple mainstream media outlet articles sent to me over the last week, and people were asking me, they were saying, have you seen the study? You know, Fox News covered it. You know, fluoridation has zero effect on IQ scores. And I'm like, what is this study? I didn't hear about it. And ironically enough, because nobody really even took it with a grain of salt at all in the media community, because after I read it, I realized why. It's a complete and total joke. And this goes back to exactly how we bring it up sometimes with pharmaceutical companies and other companies when they do these research studies to get their intended outcome without actually having any real data. This is why I said at the beginning of this show, do your own research. Next time your pediatrician gives you a hard time about wanting to delay vaccines or wanting to, you know, basically opt out of them, ask them, do you have any clinical trials that show when the COVID shot and the flu shot and the chickenpox shot and the DTaP shot and the MMR shot, all those shots were combined and used on a six-month-old, and have a test study where you have a group of six-month-olds that all get that shot and you have a group of six-month-olds that don't get that shot, and you have long-term health studies, what happens to them, and you follow them. They don't exist. They never will. Because then there's no way to even try to manipulate a trial to actually get a positive outcome on that. So another reason why I always tell you, when you start hearing headlines and, you know, the kicker headlines they do with the real short terms to get you on the same page, and then they talk to you and say, see, we've determined in this research study that fluoride has no association at all with lower IQ points. See, nod your head with me and say no. No. There's no association whatsoever. No, agree with me. Because remember, they're telling you what to do. 99% of everything you're exposed to on mainstream media is controlled theater in order to control your mindset and the direction they want you to go. They're not necessarily going to tell you exactly what to do or how to do it, but they're going to lead you in the direction. They're going to plant little seeds of misinformation to get you to constantly question certain things, basically believe what they want you to believe, and continue to go down this racket line of propaganda. That's why you've seen this whatever theater war we've watched now, where it's been more of a media war, if anything, with Iran and the United States and, of course, Israel and the blockade down the back doing anything. Again, breaking the ceasefire and bombing Lebanon, again, destroying massive infrastructure, destroying churches, destroying all types of Christian relics over there. And they go, we have to knock out Hezbollah. I've already told you guys this. I know enough weapon and, you know, DOD contractors. They have all told me the exact same thing, and they're all independent of one another. Hezbollah is whatever Israel deems it to be. If a civilian picks up an AK-47 in Lebanon and they're fighting back as IDF shells their house and their family, they're designated Hezbollah. If somebody says, I don't want you to blow up my home, I want my children and family to have a long-term residence that we bought and paid for, IDF says, well, that means you're Hezbollah. Anything and anyone that disagrees with the great state of Israel that they claim that they are is Hezbollah. So, again, take things with a grain of salt you see in the media. Do your own research. Genocide's not cool, guys. It's really not. And going around supporting a country that's doing it and saying it's okay because, you know, they were promised this 3,000 years ago to wipe children and Christians and families off the face of the earth because they deemed it so. Newsflash. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're not being called to go in and wipe out entire races and entire groups. That was in Old Testament when the Nephilim were running around and the basically Israelites were told by God to go do this. The entire concept of Christianity changed with Jesus Christ coming here and dying for us. We don't live under Old Testament law anymore as far as an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. For some odd reason, these guys like to manipulate the scripture to justify genocide in that factor.
Well, you know, in Deuteronomy, God's having this conversation with Moses and says, you know, what's going to happen when you die is all these people are going to start sacrificing to Baal and to Moloch and Asherah, and I'm paraphrasing, and they're going to be sacrificing their children on altars again, basically sacrificing their children, killing their kids, and he's going to turn his face from them. And they lost it. They had their shot, but they lost it. And they lost it thousands of years ago when they crucified the Son of Glory. There's a lot of mention that Christians were then brought in as the chosen people. Christians are the chosen people.
Anyone that accepts Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it was an open platform for anyone to accept Christ, to basically admit they've sinned, admit they're saved by grace only because of what Christ did,
and be able to
go to God through Jesus. That changed. That's what happened. No longer were they having to deal with the temple and the priests and the sacrifices
of animals.
That stopped. And so this concept of where now Christians want to believe one aspect of the New Testament, and then they want to go back and say, well, this group's told us that we have to believe their way of thinking. Well, my question is, which one is it? Which one is it, guys, in your churches right now? Which ones are you going to follow? Which one do you believe? Because you can't have it both ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And trying to say we're going to do this way, but this way, because that's what the group told us we have to do. And if we don't do it, we're going to be cursed.
Stupid.
Get out of here.
Henry Ford was right. He was right. Henry Ford Sr., the founder of Ford Motor Company, when he said the international banking communities, these Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan people, I'm paraphrasing what he said, are the ones that are doing all of this. This is the absolute truth. And now other talk show hosts are saying the same thing we are doing.
Oh, yeah.
That basically Benjamin Netanyahu is the president of the United States and is running us through Trump. And, you know, and that's what all this is about. It's about a cover of the Epstein files that were being released. In addition to that, we need to understand that there are a lot of people out there now that are seeing the truth of what Israel is, that they're a secular state. They're not the Old Testament Israel that basically is trying to follow God. Number one homosexual destination in the world occur there. Number one homosexual destination of any country ever in the history of the planet. We covered it last week. It's there. And they're having another one right now in the Dead Sea this next week or so.
June.
Now, but I also want to talk, I want to cover, get off of this topic for a second. Oh, yeah. One more thing. Oh. Why was the fluoride story pushed to mainstream media? Who controls mainstream media? Rothschilds control Reuters and AP Wire. So when the stories go out, they're told to report on these stories. Rothschilds control it. Rothschilds control Israel. It's their fiefdom. So who's the number one supplier to the United States of fluoride?
Israel.
Oh, we covered that 2 weeks ago.
I covered that in detail. And that, again, that's not speculation. That is a determining factor.
You know, hydrofluorosilicic acid. Now, here's the interesting part about that. You know, I didn't hear that covered on any other media outlet. Did you, Austin?
Nope.
Zero. So all of a sudden, now fluoride is good for you. Fluoride has shown to cause no problems with IQ scores. Total lie. It's a neurotoxin. It's rat poison. You don't put it in your body. Read the book by Yami Yates, Fluoride, The Aging Factor, and you will get an earful, an eyeful, a life full of how bad fluoride is. You know, I wish I had not drunk fluoride when I was a kid. I remember we drank it at school in the water fountains because it was in the municipal water. You know, I drank it at the gym when I was working out in the water fountain. The only time I didn't get fluoride was at my house, at my mom's house, when we were drinking well water. And I tell you what, I wish I had never put any of that poison through my body. Now what they're trying to do is fluoride sales are down. Israel's losing money on it because now they have a toxic glut of this mess. They don't know what to do with it because they can't ship it and put it in our water anymore. It drops IQ scores. It was used by the Nazis in World War II. It makes the inmates servile and infertile. Oh, by the way, they consider us to be goyim or inmates.
Now, China does apparently, they compete for the exportation of basically fluorosic acid, hydrofluorosic acid. It says Israel is the major global exporter of fluorosic acid, but is generally cited the second largest, only behind China. However, while China is often listed as a top exporter, Israel is the leading global supplier with significant exports around 40 million kilos. It's a lot.
That's 80 million pounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 40 million kilos distributor.
That's 80 million pounds.
Here's the kicker. Israel doesn't add fluorosic acid to their water supply.
How about that? Why would they?
But they're the largest exporter of it.
Well, why would
Interesting.
Why would you poison your own people? Oh, that's right. You got to dumb them down. Mm-hmm. Now I want to show you something else. We're going to talk about GLPs for a second. Probably one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood that they've ever produced. Is Olivia Wilde.
If they've ever produced. Well, I don't think they produced her as far as the actress, maybe.
Sure, they produced her. They promoted her. They produced her. They showed what she could be. They put her in Cowboys and Aliens.
She was with Cowboys and Aliens, of course,
Yeah, and they also had her in as a top supermodel in the movie Rush, which I watched last night. Phenomenal movie. I recommend it to you. But it's not for kids. It's got some pretty graphic scenes in it, so you got to watch that. So don't let your kids watch it. Plus, it's got some sexual stuff in it you got to stay away from for little kids. But show a picture of what Olivia Wilde used to look like.
I'm trying to find it right now.
I sent it to you on text.
I know you sent me on text, and I was also running a solo show this morning.
I'll show it to you on my iPad, since that's how we're apparently going to end up doing this. But my iPad's got some low batteries in it right now, so on top of that. But let me see if we can figure out.
I can probably pull it up. But yeah, anyways, what she got kind of, everybody's been kind of hammering her because she went out and
apparently, she's on a GLP drugs to lose weight. Everybody's wanting to do that nowadays. Let me show you what it does to you if you get too much weight loss.
The face on there, yeah. This isn't a close-up on it. But, yeah, you can see as far as what it does. It sucks all the fat out of your face, the problem.
Well, I want you to show that one picture.
I don't have it. I'm trying to.
Go ahead and scroll up a little bit higher so we can find it on this other side.
It shows her old photos where she like didn't have it. Anyways, the problem with the GL1P.
No, there it was right there. Right there. Look at this. Can you blink that? Can you blow this up right here?
I don't know if I can blow it up. It's on camera 4.
Yeah, but give us camera 4, Rich. That's what she looked like in the photos she took the other day. They're compared to this troll.
Well, the issue is with the GL1Ps is that they're non-specific as far as where they drop fat. They drop fat.
Well, you can look at her.
I've never questioned the ability to lose weight on GL1Ps. I've told you guys that. The issue is what it does to the body long term as far as with other organs, including the pancreas. And it's like, what's the ratio on it? It's almost like 2 or 3 to 1 fat to muscle ratio. So for like every 10 pounds of fat you lose, body fat you lose like 7 pounds with it. I forgot what the number is, but it's not a healthy aspect as far as trying to.
Okay, there's a picture.
Right.
Okay, that's why I want you to show that.
What happens is it starts taking fat from everywhere, and the problem is it also takes muscle. Now, here's the issue when you start doing them as well. You start losing facial muscle tissue also, not just body fat.
That's her in Rush. Okay, she's pretty.
Getting to my point.
Yeah.
You start losing fat and muscle, and so what happens is not only do you start getting that Ozempic, you know, that contest face, what we call it in bodybuilding, when you're really, really lean. The difference is in bodybuilding, when you're really lean, it's almost primarily done through diet, meaning you're still maintaining the max amount of muscle tissue, so you get that real hard, muscular face with no fat. The GLP-1s, they suck out everything, fat and muscle tissue. And so you start getting this rough-looking face. The problem is it's almost impossible to get that fat and muscle tissue to be rebuilt in the face once you lose it, because the body will store up fat and muscle anywhere else in the body besides the face after it's gone. Meaning, you may try to add some more weight back on. Well, it's probably going to go right back to your stomach. It's probably going to go back to your quads.
A lot of times they have to have different types of injections put into the face to try to get the look back.
Right. And then what happens is, and now the new thing that I've also found about is now they start doing filler in their face. Like the same thing girls use in Hollywood, like lip filler. They start using filler in their cheeks and their eyes to try to bring definition.
Tom Cruise did that after he lost all that weight for Top Gun Maverick. Yeah, he actually kind of puffy in the face.
And that's the problem. Then you start having this manipulated, weird-looking face with filler in it because it's lost so much weight. So, guys, this is why I've told you this is not the end-all, be-all. There's a reason why now Costco and the FDA are all working together. They're trying to bring stuff. Apparently now they're trying to bring oral GL1Ps over the counter.
Of course they are.
They want you to be able to buy them over the counter now. They want to get people losing this much weight because of all the health issues. I mean, there's a $2 billion with Novo Nordisk, $2 or $3 billion class action lawsuit. It keeps going up.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not going to change. Oh, by the way, 3 people have died on an Atlantic cruise ship from suspected hantavirus, which is kind of very similar to hemorrhagic fever. It's transmitted from rats and mice. It wasn't a major cruise line, so it was kind of one of those weird cruise
Bobo
lines.
Bobo ones.
Yeah. And, but you got to be real careful on a cruise ship because we were on one several years ago, actually about 14 years ago, 15 years ago. And it ended up getting a norovirus on it, and people were having projectile vomiting, including my youngest daughter, in the hallways.
I'll give you guys advice, and Ted's on the same page with me in this. I've gone on a lot of cruises. You've gone on a lot of cruises. If you're going to go on one, go on a brand one that's a nice ship. Don't go on some old rebuilt one.
Don't go on Holland America.
Don't go on Holland America.
Go on any Carnival ship.
No, that's a floating horse.
Holland is a Carnival ship.
If you go on one, I recommend not going for more than like 5 days max. That's my opinion. Also, save up the extra money, get a balcony, and get fresh air. Remember when all those people got stuck on that ship during COVID? They were on that boat for like, 30 days at port?
Run out of food and water and everything else.
They're sitting on if you have a balcony room, you can get fresh air and sunshine every day. And this is also my opinion. I do this. He does this. Anytime I go on a cruise, I always bring extra GHI cleanse with me in Ziploc bags.
And always bring like at least a Brita filter or something. They don't put fluoride. Listen to this. This is a retro story. I asked the captain one time. I said, do you fluoridate the water on your cruise ship? He goes, absolutely not. That's hydrofluorosilicic acid. It's through the pipes. He said, the pipes are so hard to get to on a cruise ship, it'll destroy the entire pipe system on the ship. You can't put it in the ship, so we don't want
to. Everything's built on top of the water lines in a ship.
And he said, but they do add chlorine.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why if you bring something that'll take chlorine out, the water's pretty good.
You can actually drink the faucet water, and it doesn't. Then you go through a Brita filter, there's really nothing in it.
It tastes pretty good. So that's what we used to bring on gallons and gallons of water because they charge you like $25 a gallon for the water on the ship. No joke. They really do if you get bottled water. But then you go down to the machines, get water, then run it through the Brita filter, refilled your own containers. That's what we did from that point on.
And bring extra GHI. The reason why I say bring extra GHI, in the event that something happens like a Nova virus and everybody's sick and puking, you can kind of just stay on your balcony, you know, quarantine from everybody and do a GHI fast for a couple days.
I've got an article written on the website. This is a potential death ship. Don't sail it. And I found hair in that food three times in dirt, you know, on the cruise. And I thought, I actually lost 7 pounds on the cruise ship.
Came back clean.
I came back looking pretty good.
Hey, see, that way you don't eat. Go out on the porch every morning, start knocking out push ups all day, do your GHI cleanse, have some prayer time, relax, get some sunshine, and just kind of exfil out from everybody. Also, too, this is another interesting health article I want to cover. It says vitamin D levels in your 30s may shape your brain decades later. The study found that lower vitamin D levels at age 39 were linked to Alzheimer's related brain changes 16 years later in life. Now, we know D3 level is an enormously important vitamin in the body. I mean, the lower your vitamin D levels, pretty much everything goes up as far as a health problem.
Your immune system won't work without D3.
It can't. He's explained it in detail with the macrophage before.
You can't get the macrophages to activate. The killer white blood cells, they can't turn on.
Right. It says, a recent study looked at vitamin D levels in midlife and then examined participants' brain scans 16 years later, with participants still showing no signs of dementia. Those with low D3 levels were more than likely to show brain changes linked to Alzheimer's disease, meaning it was starting to progress towards that direction. They said addressing vitamin D deficiencies in midlife is particularly important because it targets the diseases at a much earlier stage. It provides a greater window of opportunity to intervene from memory loss or dementia before symptoms ever begin. This is used from data from the Framingham Heart Study from Neurology Open Access. And what it goes into detail, it says participants around 39 years old on average did not have any dementia or heart disease at time of testing. Researchers measured blood levels and they looked for preclinical signs of dementia on brain scans 16 years later when participants were in their mid-50s. The scan measured basically two hallmark proteins of Alzheimer's disease, and they went in and said participants who had an average vitamin D level of 38 and about 34, so 30 to 34, the study's cut off, they said vitamin D levels that were basically in the 20s showed worse brain results on them, meaning the lower you get. So when they say recommended minimum levels like 25, which I personally think is still too low. I think a good healthy range for D3 is around 50 or 60. That's where I usually keep mine on there. You can do that very easy with the D3 10,000 K2. That product I usually take about one every other day, so it's a couple times throughout the week, and it'll keep those blood levels right around, like I said, in that 50 range, which is a good healthy range. And again, that's just my opinion on it and a lot of other people's opinions. And so this is why it's so important. It says vitamin D is technically a steroid hormone. It's not an actual true vitamin. It acts through the body, including the brain, regulating hundreds of genes involved in immune function, brain health, and cell repair every single day. They said in Alzheimer's disease, it becomes chemically altered because it's causing it to attach and misfold and clump into tangles that disrupt the neuron's transport system, leading to cell death. Vitamin D, look at this right here. Vitamin D appears to influence the enzymes involved in this process, help preventing those tangles from even forming. Vitamin D helps maintain antioxidant systems that protect neurons from oxidative stress and inflammation, two processes known to accelerate damage. Vitamin D receptors are found throughout the brain, including memory-related regions in the hippocampus as well as immune cells, meaning it can act directly in the brain and the immune system to help regulate inflammation. Inadequate vitamin D also affects the growth and survival of neurons, further increasing vulnerability over time. This is why I tell people so much, you've got to check your D3 levels on a regular basis when you get blood work done and make sure you're staying in a healthy range. I know the midwives here in Central Florida that do a lot of the pregnancies here, they are so adamant about it. They will make the mom get blood work done like almost every month to every other month to make sure, because the vast majority of women are extremely deficient in vitamin D once they become pregnant because the baby is sucking all the nutrients out of them. I know Lana's dosage, she usually took around 20,000 IUs of vitamin D.
We're not recommending that without a midwife testing.
I'm not recommending that for everybody or anybody. I'm stating that's the dosage that she took when the midwife was watching her along with the nurses and she was under their care. That's what they had her taking to maintain a healthy level of D3 in the body while she was pregnant. So be aware of that. Do accordingly. Follow the advice of your midwife, whoever is helping you out with the pregnancy on this. But this is why we're so adamant about vitamin D and why it's so important in the brain, especially this, showing how effective it is even in the 30s at preventing later on cognitive functioning issues.
you know, the whole thing is you've got to be taking the proper supplements when you're pregnant.
And high quality.
And before you get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then you have to be taking the proper supplements if you're nursing. I remember years ago we had a friend of mine came to me and he said, I don't know what to do. My child has really bad problems, you know, with skin, you know, eczema, et cetera, all the other things. And they started having all these health problems, had lung problems and everything else. And I said, well, is he nursing? Yes. I said, well, have the mother start taking these supplements. And he did. And it all cleared up within a month.
Yep.
Done. Cleared. With 30 days. I mean, they had to put the kid on it like a ventilator at night. It was that bad. And it was, and so they were able to stop all of that within 30 days. But the mother had to get the nutrients in her body, or the nutrients are not in the breast milk. I'm going to say that again so you guys can get the picture here. If you have to put fuel in your car and your fuel hits empty on your fuel gauge and your car stops, it doesn't matter how much you sit there and fuss at your car. It's not going to start. It doesn't have the proper raw nutrients, the material that it needs to run.
Good analogy.
Same thing happens with the body. You know, I have people together, they pray over their car because it's out of gas. I know you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Oh, I was out of gas again, so I prayed before I started the gas. You know, Lord, let me make it to the gas station. Well, now, you know, God may give you a supernatural miracle and fill your tank.
May have a little fuel in your line.
I'm not seeing it. But the reality is you may have a little bit of fuel in your line to car, so I'm going to get to the gas station. It's better to not have to go to God with a flare gun.
Okay. Over gas.
Over gas and over your health. Lord, I got cancer. Okay. Well, why did you eat pork? Why did you eat shellfish? Why did you put all this poison in your body? I told you not to do that. Yeah, but I thought you were just kidding. They're not called the 10 suggestions, friends. It's the commandments. They're not called suggestions. They're principles in the Old Testament that we're supposed to follow as far as staying healthy. But if we don't do it, we don't. Now, I'm looking at this article this morning, Inside the Broken World of Britney Spears. I feel so sorry for this Disney girl. So many of these Disney girls have gotten all messed up in their lives, and you see her, and they call it, she has a vacant stare. Yeah. It's that, if she, in German, you say she looks ganz verrückt. In other words, she looks crazy in her eyes. And you see that sometimes when people just walk around, they have that vacant stare like nobody's home. And a lot
it's
of
a hollow look.
It's a hollow look. And what she started doing in most of the pictures on this article is now she's wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when people get like that, they have that crazy look in their eyes, they start wearing sunglasses because they can see the look on the photographs. They don't like the way they look, so they'll start wearing sunglasses on the photographs so they don't see it. And I feel sorry for her. She really, really needs Jesus. She really needs to have somebody helping her make decisions. And the sad part about it is, you know, they released her a few years ago from her dad trying to help her. And not whether she should have been under her dad's care or not, I don't know. I'm not going to get involved with all that. But all I know is that she makes a lot of bad choices. And when you see people do this on an ongoing basis, invariably their lives turn out poorly. And, you know, and all that money she made and all that notoriety she had, now she's posted naked pictures of herself online. Unbelievable.
The issue, though, I do have some sympathy for her on that is because she got brought into that Disney pedophile world so early age. And I'm not saying that anything happened to her at that age. I can only speculate. But I do know that Disney World, numerous times in Central Florida, this is not speculation for everybody that wanted to send me an email the other day about Disney's not a pedo world, every single year, usually the Polk County Sheriff's Department does a huge pedophile sting in Central Florida. They do it. They set up basically different types of pages that basically are pretending to be young kids, and that they get these guys and girls, mainly guys, that are trying to solicit sex from minors in very detailed manners, including photographs and everything, and they end up getting arrested when they come to meet with the child because it's a sheriff's officer, and they're all shocked. Vast majority, a lot of cases, in this case, they work for Disney in these busts.
They have in the past.
They have in the past.
And that's not to imply that everybody works for Disney as a pedophile.
No,
not true.
Not at all. And but a lot of the people that are arrested in these stings have worked or worked with Disney in some way, shape, or form. That's all I'm saying.
But the reality is that, you know, Disney's got probably 100,000 employees in Central Florida, indirectly, indirectly. So it's a possibility that they're just randomly selected. But the reality is that they're very careful with Disney because Disney controls its own press.
Exactly right.
It doesn't allow the stories. When that
it has its own ecosystem.
No, it does. When Disney got basically busted a few years ago for letting that alligator eat that child, because Disney wanted to be woke, and they would let alligators swim around in their lakes with the people.
No, they did. They said that we want to be environmentally friendly. The alligators were here first. Well, yeah, no dud, ding dong. You guys dredged out the green swamp when they built it in the 60s. Disney was a swamp, complete swamp. They brought up the property all around it and dredged it out and built it all up and built underground tunnels. You know, Walt Disney did.
And the tunnels weren't underground. They were on top of the ground.
They built them up.
And then they filled them with backfill with dirt.
Yeah, that's why it's all swamp around it. So they said, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to interfere with the gators, what they're doing. They need to live in peace with us. Well, unfortunately, as sad as it is, you had basically, it was a 6-foot alligator. He ate a four-year-old boy, killed him. That was a horrific incident. And Disney tried to cover the whole thing up. Oh, we don't know why he was swimming there. I don't know. Maybe because you put a white sand beach up next to the water and told everybody they could swim there. I don't know. Maybe that's why parents from out of state don't know what alligators are. They came down here. Now they have signs everywhere. They do have that. Every body of water has signs everywhere.
You know what makes me mad? And I understand that some people just don't know what a 8-foot, 10-foot, 12-foot, 14, 16-foot reptile can do. They don't understand these are dinosaurs. Well,
especially northern states that really don't follow much down here in Florida.
But about a year ago, or 2 years ago, I was at Florentino's. He got a great Italian restaurant right on the water there on Lake Hancock, one of the most gator-infested swamps on the planet.
It's on the list, by the way, for gator tags when you apply for tags.
Spot in the lake's like 4 or 5 feet.
It's a swamp bottom. It's Jessup. It's like Jessup is.
You know, and the crazy part about it is there was a guy there, and the thing, you see gators swim by all the time.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy there with a little 3-year-old child playing in the water, splashing on the edge.
Yeah.
And I walked over to him, and I said, dude, I said, do you not realize that this is gator meat? It's sunset. This is feeding time. And he started laughing. Thought it was funny. He said, well, we have life insurance on him.
That's what he said?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Wow.
His words, not mine. And I looked at him. I said, where are you from? Well, I'm from Florida. I said, if you're from Florida and you've lived here for a minute, you already know the reality of what's going on with reptiles here. I said, I really suggest we don't have to want to walk. Because I was sitting on the back deck.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see it if the gator came up and grabbed that kid. And then, so when people are that stupid, I mean, I'm going to quote that stupid. Just, it's back with, like Forrest Gump says, stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah.
I finally understood that movie, what he said when I saw this guy with his kid. That's unbelievable how dumb this guy was. But the reality is a person comes from up north and they don't know. They don't know what a reptile is.
And they think
do.
Disney's this magical place. Everything's perfect. There's no threats there. That's that's perceived there. And so the thing you have to understand.
No child abductions ever at Disney.
No, nothing ever happens.
No, you're being facetious.
Remember, the thing is, a lot of times people fail to realize this. When a young child is splashed in the water, the gator doesn't look at it and go, that's a 4-year-old kid.
He's so cute.
I don't want him. He sees it as basically a animal or another thing to eat that's in distress.
And it splashes in the water. He thinks it's been hurt.
It's distress. He thinks it's a stroke. Okay, there's a small animal in the water. There's no reasoning. There's no logic. There's no soul. There's no anything with gators. That's why whenever you hunt them, you see that they're very creepy up close because they are pure apex predators. There's no like, oh, let's talk to them. Let's kind of hang out.
The brain's like the size of a pea.
Right. You got to hit it in the right spot and you bang stick them. And so just be aware of it. Once you see what they do to other animals and what they do to, I mean, I remember watching that video and they finally edited part of it. That guy was at that bar 2 years ago and he goes down to the water. They're videotaping. He's going in the water to basically use the bathroom in the water, drunk, 2 o'clock in the morning. Gator grabs by the arm, death rolls, pulls the whole arm out. He's laying there bleeding out. One of his buddies is drunk, who's a combat medic deployed. He said, I'll never forget. You can tell the guy did so much in the Middle East. It's 2 in the morning. They're all drunk. He's on video. He's got a cigarette. He's still smoking. He's talking to him about exactly what he's about to do. He's like, we're about to put a cat tourniquet on 3, 2, 1, pull, yanks it down. Talking to the guy the whole time. I'm like, gosh, tell me you did multiple combat tours. I'll tell me you did multiple combat tours. I mean, that guy saved his life, by the way. They ended up getting to the hospital, got the infection down. And he lost his arm. But everybody kind of got a real like eye-opener, like, well, that wasn't a joke.
I think the gator got the arm.
He did.
Yeah. By the way, Animal Farm, new movie coming out, a Hollywood perversion of Orwell's anti-communist classic. George Orwell's movie about or book about the future authoritarianism have proved consistently accurate. They have not only been limited by his ability to foresee the creation of certain technologies, which make the future look even more bleak. The reason his books like 1984 Animal Farm are considered classic literature is because they're timeless. Their warnings and messages still apply today and will probably apply for centuries. Animal Farm was first published in 1945. It's a grotesque tragedy composed of a children's novel in which it makes it more effective. This is the epitome of woke ideology of progressive behavior today. It's no surprise that Hollywood is incapable of telling their story properly. In order to do that, they would have to put their own warped beliefs under a microscope, and that's simply not going to happen. So they're going to make Animal Farm a comedy instead of what it is.
I don't know much about that.
Most of us read it. You know, rather than the pigs being conniving and malicious from the beginning, Frida to the pig corrupts them into evil with the promise of riches. Her plan is to use the pigs as a means to get control of the farm. In the end, the animals realize their mistake, and their solution is yet another communist revolution. The message being communism only goes wrong when evil capitalists influence the outcome. Collectivist ideology is inherently good. The leftists are not psychotic ideologies thirsting for power and control. They are just led astray sometimes. again, it's posting communism, making communism great, and making capitalism bad. And don't get me wrong, capitalism has to have some kind of buffers. You can't let people get in the world of a capitalistic society and be crooks. Because and you
have what we have now with a lot of stuff.
And use the
BlackRock buys up everything.
And use the legal system to basically control their crooked behavior. When Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and said this week, she did a video last week, said people don't even realize, you know, that when you go to Washington, you're lonely. And it's very easy for the lobbyists to come in and start buying you dinner, lunch, dinner, all this other kind of stuff, and become your friends. And all of a sudden, they start, you know, dictating your policies on Capitol Hill.
Well, I'm sure they're very friendly.
And then she said, so the thing you got to realize is this. She goes, Israel runs the United States. Israel runs Trump. She's telling the same thing Tucker Carlson said. They're finally saying what the Ted Nelson brought.
Well, Dan Bilzerian's running for Congress down here in Florida. I don't know if you've seen that. Mm-hmm. Dan Bilzerian, apparently his dad had a big trust fund. He used to be a poker player. Wild guy, wild life. But he has now built an entire platform on basically calling out what's happened with our basically Jewish congressional leader down here in Florida. And he's gone full just all wide open. And the problem is, the vast majority of what he's saying, he's not wrong. Now, of course, they're coming after him now. Like,
well, Fishback was pretty big. He's getting a lot of momentum.
They
came after him now, too.
Come after
Remember,
him now, too.
When you control the AP wire, you control Reuters, you control the news stories, you can make somebody go away almost instantly.
That's right. So, and then what you have to do, if you can't come up with a horrible story to try to flush him out, what you do is you just point all the algorithms away from him.
Hmm?
So you, everything you do, you cover them up with other stories. And anything they do that may actually get traction, you detune it or downregulate or dethrottle it. So it doesn't get any traction. They post them on social media. They normally would get 50,000 likes, they get 200 likes. Sure. Everything points away from them, and nobody can find their content or material. They're really interesting on that. And you're talking about capitalism now. This is interesting. I find this ironic because I am the only person that I know of that called this out. And I'm not saying this to try to brag. Back in 2017, 2018, this is pre-COVID, Lakeland Airport extended the runway out to, I think, 8,500, wasn't it?
10,000.
10,000 now.
I've landed there many times.
Right. We used to have his Cessna 210 we used to take over there. And coming to find out, you know, Amazon put a giant warehouse there. They're bringing in these planes there. They got a lot of the airport subsidized for their planes because they were bringing in all this new cash.
You can land anything on a 10,000-foot runway.
But here's the thing that I got is that you found out that Lakeland, basically municipalities and basically the communities and everything was going on, we subsidized a lot of the airport expansion. Amazon didn't pay for a lot of it at all because they said they were bringing in all these jobs with their massive warehouse. Well, that was just an isolated incident in Lakeland. This has happened all over the country now in major areas and minor areas with Amazon expansion. And I said this. I said there's no way they're not doing this because they just want to have faster packages for Prime. I said they're going to build an ecosystem and they're going to try to own the entire shipping market. I couldn't have nailed it harder on the head 8 years ago. FedEx and UPS shares slide. Amazon opens full freight network to all businesses across the entire United States. Logistics, transportation, FedEx and UPS dropped in pre-market trading as Amazon debuted. Amazon supply chain services available to everyone. Freight, distribution, fulfillment, parcel shipping, capabilities of all sizes and all types anywhere in the country 24/7 a day, 7 days a week. I told you it's going to happen. I told you guys that. I said Amazon is being built through government contracts and DOD subsidies, just like they've done for the last decade. They built their infrastructure. They built their entire ecosystem. And now, which BlackRock is the major shareholder of them, by the way, number one, they're coming in now, and they're coming for all the marbles. They want to put UPS. They want to put FedEx. They want to have Amazon, the main supply chain hub for anybody in the country. Now, why would they want to do that? Well, A, they get all the money. B, they get all the control and leverage. What happens when you're a major shipper in 2035 and all of a sudden UPS and FedEx are microcosms now in the entire country because Amazon runs the entire shipping network and you get blacklisted because they don't like what you're saying on your podcast. And Amazon says, well, we're not shipping your packages anymore. You've been blacklisted. Find somebody else. Well, what do you do then? What do you do when one company owns the entire shipping monopoly now of the entire country? They're going for all the marbles, guys. I told you guys this.
Yes, you know, so I had my hangar, you know, airport, Lakeland Airport, for years, and it was interesting because I taxied a 210 out before Amazon got there, And, you know, what happened is I remember one day, I think Austin was with me. And we were flying somewhere. I forgot where it was. And we taxied out to the runway. And my plane did not have air conditioning in it. All right. And so once you got to about 4,000 feet, it was fine. But until you got 4,000 feet, especially in August, it was hot. And I remember I pulled up to the runway and I called the tower. I asked for clearance to proceed to the runway. And they told me to hold short of the taxiway. And I'm like, okay, can I ask you why? Well, Amazon's on the way. You were with me. And that the doggone plane.
I was sitting in the plane. The
plane's like a mile and a half away.
They're doing a pre-flight check. They weren't even moving.
No, they weren't. They were going so slow. It was unbelievable. And then we're sitting there just sweating.
They stopped.
Okay. And then they got to the edge of the runway to take off. And then they did a pre-flight.
Pre-flight, yeah.
And we still were behind them. And what you understand something, when you take off behind a big jet in a 210 or any kind of Cessna
jet
or small.
Wash.
It's jet wash. Yeah. You know, it's turbulence. It'll flip the plane over. So you've got to get up in the air before they get in the air, or the air is so turbulent that you can't. You just
got to wait. You have to wait.
But that plane would get up. My 210 would get up so fast. I could get up in less than 1,000 feet. You know, and so I got up and got out of there, and I thought myself,
yeah, we had to hold the entire airport was sitting. There was a line. Everybody's waiting for Amazon.
Soaking wet and sweat. And I think to myself, this is great.
They did a 30-minute pre-flight. Yeah. Everybody waited on them, and here's where they're going now.
And I could have literally been out and gone before they ever got to me by five, 10 minutes. But I had to wait because Amazon controlled the tower.
Amazon controlled the entire airport now. Mm-hmm. Freight, domestic and global, trailers, international containers, aircrafts, import delivery, inventory distribution, inventory placement, fulfill orders, reliable delivery 7 days a week, GPS power tracking from label creation to customer doorstep. Remember I told you guys why I was so angry about 12, 13 years ago when United States Postal Service, which we do the largest amount in our little town of Auburndale here, suddenly Amazon was getting all of their packages delivered on Sunday by the post office. And I went to the postmaster and I said, hey, how do we get our packages delivered on Sunday? You got cars out. You're shipping stuff right out of here. He goes, we can't. It's Amazon contract. I said, wait a minute. So they get a contract and they get it subsidized for pennies on the dollar that they're paying like $1, $2 per parcel. That they're paying to ship. You guys are delivering on Sunday, and we can't compete with them because we're not allowed to compete with them because you won't deliver our packages on Sunday, but we deliver theirs on Sunday. And he goes, yeah, I'm sorry, bud. It's outside of my scope. I can't do anything about it. And I said, how is that fair? Government is subsidizing them to be delivered on Sunday, and nobody can compete with them. That's the issue that I've had that's happened repeatedly. And now, sure enough, exactly what I said has happened. Amazon's going for a full supply chain, all the marbles. They want to take over it all.
Well, that's what they always do, bud. The boys who breathe free air, that's what they do.
How do you control what goes in and goes out? If you own the shipping, the entire supply chain serves across the country, you just decide, oh, you're blacklisted. Go try to get a pricing from, UPS as they're falling apart, which I hope they don't. I hope UPS, I love UPS. They're the best shipper we got. We've been on Priority Mail. Side note, if you guys are ordering stuff and we ship it Priority Mails, that's what we do on the free shipping. It's the only way we can basically make it cost effective. They're slow sometimes. And the reason why is because they just lost a massive multi-billion-dollar contract with Amazon last year. Amazon came in and said, oh, by the way, we're not going to renew our contract anymore now. You guys aren't going to get all this really, really, really super low-priced parcels delivered anymore because, well, we have our own infrastructure. We don't need you anymore. Thanks for building our infrastructure for the last decade, guys, on the backs of U.S. taxpayer dollars. Now we can have all the shipping we need, and we don't have to use you anymore. This is how Amazon always works. They buy into you. They buy stuff at massive bulk price. I've watched distributors go out of business and bankrupt over Amazon.
Saw it with toothpaste.
Watched it happen multiple times. They come in now, and they give you like a 50,000-piece contract. The company goes, wow, there's 50,000 bottles. But you're going to sell it and make like $1 a bottle on it. Okay, well, still making some money moving inventory. Well, then Amazon does. Amazon then starts going in and selling it cheaper than anybody else can sell it for, including you. They'll lose money on it.
They will not honor MAP pricing.
No, they'll lose money on the product just to undercut anybody else that competes with them. And they come back to you and say, well, by the way, this is what the product's selling for. Company goes, we can't sell it for this. We're losing money. Oh, okay, that's fine. We're canceling our contract with you now. Well, what do you mean? We have all this inventory. That's fine. So do we. And we're going to sell it cheaper than you sell it to us for.
We're going to sell it cheaper than it costs to make.
Yeah. And we'll do it because we don't care, because they can do it with subsidies. And then the company goes, well, we can't move inventory. Nobody will buy our inventory. You're selling it cheaper than we can even make it. And then the company goes bankrupt and dissolved. And then a lot of times what happens is behind the scenes, Amazon or subsidiary of Amazon will go in and buy up the company, rebrand it, rename it, start redistributing their own product, their own label.
Yeah, bar story.
Bar, love bar stories.
I was raised in a bar at a German beer tavern, so I might as well tell a bar story. These bar stories get kind of weird. This is not a real weird one, but it is still true. My mom used to have, you know, Bernie Little Budweiser basically distributor out of Lakeland.
Okay.
They come to the bar, they bring my mom beer. And
back when Budweiser was Budweiser.
Oh, yeah. Back when Budweiser was big American owned, you know, Clydesdales. And I remember finally one day she got so upset. She goes, I can buy cheaper beer in the grocery store than I can from my supplier. And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, if we pay a dollar for, you know, for a can of beer, you know, I can buy it in the grocery store for 50 cents.
Yeah.
She goes, I pay more, you know, than you can buy it at wholesale.
Yeah.
She goes, this is awful. And now you say, well, why are you doing a beer story? It's not a beer store. It's a metaphor. I'm trying to make a point here like we do with Amazon, is that they can put anybody they want out of business by doing this.
When you get that big.
We saw it with the toothpaste company. Amazon did the same thing to them. They destroyed all of the distributors. See, when you stop letting a person, when you don't require somebody that sells at mat price,
right.
That's minimum accepted price. If the retail's $10 and that's the minimum accepted price and you get a distributor and they cut the price down and they're paying $6 for it, they cut it down to $6.50, they undercut the mat pricing and then everybody else is trying to sell for $10, doesn't sell anything.
Well, that's why we stopped carrying the toothpaste. That's what they did.
And they went out of business.
I called them up and I said, hey guys, I said, Amazon's selling the toothpaste cheaper than I'm paying you for when I'm buying in case lots. They said, well, we can't help it. Amazon basically gets all the contracts.
And pretty soon they had no inventory. Amazon took all the product.
Yeah.
And pretty soon they were out of business.
Yeah. Because they were trying to operate, you know, making 50 cents on a tube of toothpaste instead of making $2-3 selling it to everybody.
Remember a couple of years ago we had that hurricane go through North Carolina? And it wiped out huge sections of the interstate, wiped out all kinds of communities. They couldn't get food. They couldn't get water. People were selling their property for pennies on the dollar just to get out so they wouldn't starve to death and freeze to death.
Yeah.
Guess what? Lithium motherlode has been discovered in Appalachia that could power the world for centuries.
Here you go.
We told you they were doing this with the lithium way back when. Everybody said, no, they're not. No, they're not. Oh, God. You know, it's funny. I mean, it's just sad that everybody. The U.S. Geological Survey just announced that the Appalachians have more lithium in them than your mind can comprehend. The research shows that the Appalachians contain enough lithium to help meet the nation's growing needs, said the U.S. Geological Survey director. How much lithium they found? They estimated 2.3 million metric tons.
Jeez.
It would be enough to power 1.6 million grid-scale batteries large enough to stabilize an electric grid, 130 million electric vehicles, 180 billion laptops, or a 1,000-year supply of laptops for the world, 500 billion cell phones, or 60 cell phones for each person on Earth. That's how much lithium they found.
Ironically, in the same spot that hurricane went through.
And ironically, the same spot that people were not getting any aid and they were being forced to sell their homes.
Oh, no, I remember. You don't remember this happened because I talked to people that were contacting me over this. That area, Amish came in. And Amish are phenomenal at building structures and cabins.
I like the Amish.
I hung out in Montana when we were up there for a while. They had a giant farm. It was not a farm, basically an operational facility. They were building a lot of cabins. They'd sell them to people. And they know how to build. I'll give them that. They can live off anything. And they came in and they built like 40 or 50. They came out and started building like 40 or 50 little small homes, like little tiny homes. And they were perfect. Nobody burnt down. Nothing happened because people had no homes. They're like living in tents on the side of a riverbed trying to live, like homeless. The Amish came in and said, no, we're not doing this. We're going to do it for free. This is just our gift to you guys. The county commissioners came in and said, we're going to fine you and we're going to tear down the dwelling because it hasn't passed permitting. We don't agree with the permitting. We're tearing it down so you can go back to sleep in a tent on the side of the mountain in the middle of the snow and the rain and the sleet and the hail. And they did it. And it was a giant, giant debacle over, if you guys remember all that massive conflict that was going on, nobody would talk about.
And I can pretty much guarantee you they're all high-level Masonic leaders.
100%.
They can't vote against each other.
No. And what happened was they weren't getting the control they wanted because they wanted to push everybody. That's when everybody started. Because there were rumors of this as far as the lithium. I remember there was already discussions about it. Massive lithium veins up there. Now they've done enough digging.
They found it.
And they found out what it is. Yeah. Here's the problem. That area is beautiful up there. Do you know what's going to happen when they strip mine that much lithium out of there?
I'm going to destroy it.
And here's the other problem. The lithium batteries they want to use in all these cars and all these stupid electric concepts they do, they don't last forever.
Mm-mm. What do you do with them?
What do you do with them?
Toxic.
In 15, 20 years, all these battery systems go out. What do we do with all of them? We just dig a hole, start burying them, like we have the giant landfill here in Polk County. Well, it's getting bigger.
Well, the truth of the matter is we can vote against it with our county commissioners and get them out of office, but then you also can vote against idiots like Starbucks. The CEO is now roasted as out of touch because he's saying that when they charge $9 to $12 for a cup of coffee, it is an affordable premium experience. Have you ever been to Starbucks? I haven't seen
affordable premium experience. So
his quote. I mean, premium experience. You go into a bunch of artificial flavors, artificial colors, yeah, artificial sweeteners, garbage coffee, and you say it's an affordable premium
experience. And every person behind the counter's got a different color rainbow version of their hair. I don't know what's quite premium about that place.
Every time I go in there, I can't tell if they're man or female.
Neither can
I can't
tell
why they are.
It's very
it's just strange.
Blended.
No.
But here's the thing. A lot of people go, well, what are you doing about it? I can tell you one thing I am going to do about it. I'm not going to support them. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with Amazon? Not going to support Amazon. Will not do it. Amazon Prime or any of that nonsense. I know people that will literally, they'd rather go buy stuff from Amazon than they would support their own local companies that they're friends with. I've never seen more compromise in my life than I have with people at Amazon, where they'll literally have called me up and say, well, I found this product that's kind of similar to yours, and it's $2 cheaper on Amazon. Okay? Call Amazon up and ask them about the raw nutrients, where they're getting them from. Well, I can't. Let me know with Amazon what they, you know, what kind of advice they'll give you as far as nutrition and health to stack with this. Well, nobody picks up the phone. Okay. So you'd rather buy it from them because it's got a mildly similar ingredient list on and it's $2 cheaper instead of buying it from me. If it's that big of a deal, brother, I'll give you the $2 if it's really that big of a deal. But here's the thing, it's not. It's the fact that people have now become so brain programmed to do everything off Amazon and price match off Amazon that they don't even know how to shop at anybody else's local company.
Awesome, they'll do it for a penny cheaper.
Yeah.
It's not $2, it's a penny. It doesn't matter. No loyalty.
No, zero. And that's the issue now. You've lost with a lot of stuff in the United States is brand loyalty's gone away. Everybody wants to. And I get it. I get it. Sometimes people on a budget with stuff. However, then you got to start looking at the fact, what's really the main cause? And a lot of it is brain control. It's psychological warfare that's occurred at a level that is unprecedented now in the United States, where people are willing to compromise their values, their ethics, their brand loyalty for any reason whatsoever because they've lost their ability to maintain their structure as far as, okay, this is my conviction. Once you lose convictions on certain topics, it's very easy to go down that slope to lose your convictions on everything else.
It's true. Like Ferrari and Porsche and a lot of other companies have lost their conviction as far as producing a V8 or a V6 that doesn't have to have electric assist. Now, Ferrari hybrid values are sticking through the floor as buyers are chasing the V8s and V12s that are not electric assist.
Same thing with Porsche. All the old ones are going through the roof now. Nobody wants. And now it's funny. Ferrari now, I just found this out this weekend when I was with a lot of the guys with the Ocala show, is that Ferrari's coming out with the 296, no hybrid version now. All motors, straight turbos, no battery, no hybrid for basically, you know, a race car when they're coming after the GT3 RS. Because the 296s have, like, cratered.
That's what they're saying. They actually talk about the 296s
here. Yeah, now they're coming out with a no hybrid, no battery, no nothing system on a straight motor.
Well, and now Trump is escalating tariffs on the EU vehicles again.
Again. Yeah. Now he's going to put 25%.
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure if they're not showing up on the sticker price.
Found that out too. Why do you think the MSRPs have gone up so much on all the cars?
Oh,
Porsche, Ferrari, all the Europeans are starting to factor in the tariffs into their MSRPs now. Same thing with Mercedes. I found that out over the weekend. I was like, you're not seeing them on here now.
You're not seeing them on the invoices.
Now they said the next phase of the MSRP is going to go up again with this. Now they're going to keep the tariffs off of it because they got so much backlash. Nobody would take a car. Came in with a $20,000 tariff. Everybody's like, I'm not paying that. We don't need to do. Factored in, raised the MSRP up on it now. Now, it's just the MSRP got raised. So that's about to happen again, they said, this year with all the cars. So,
guys,
interesting world you live in.
Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting us.
I haven't raised prices hardly at all.
No, we've been eating a lot of the increase on it. Yeah, we love you guys. I had a great time in church yesterday morning. Went to the early service. You guys are amazing. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you for supporting us with your viewership and telling people about the show and buying your toothpaste from us. You mean the world to us. I mean, I went to the altar yesterday and prayed for you guys again, and thank you for the fact that you're there and you're loyal to us. Because I'm loyal to you guys too. By the way, I mean, Austin and I, you know, we do a show every day. Most people don't do that. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work,
but it's
a lot of commitment to you guys.
Yeah, but it's a lot. We've made a lifetime commitment to you, and we appreciate you. We love you, and we thank you from the bottom of my heart.
And our qualities.
And keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life, because He is the answer to all of our needs. He's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. We no longer need to have animal sacrifices, guys. Don't be supporting the Third Temple. Also, what you got to say.
And also, we haven't compromised our ingredients, our quality. We do the best
we'll never
we can.
Do that.
We never. Sometimes something may change slightly. We have to tweak something. But as far as the quality, top tier, we don't change it. We won't ever change it. This is what we use. This is what we love, the fact that you guys use it. Thank you for your support, my friends. Be sure to check this out. If you want to try it out, it's on sale right now, product of the week. Have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, my friends. And we'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys.